Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Horseshoes and hand grenades. The Bears can keep it close. Is that the point there, John? What the hell is the point of that?
It's about, all about grit. Guys are battling.
My teams play tough. My teams stay close. You were 5.5-point favorites over a team that played Monday. You're coming out of the bye, and you're making more penalties than you made in how many games? Pre-snap penalties off a bye. What, they forgot how to play football, coach? That is pathetic. That was a really sad, sad performance by the Bears. A bad result all the way around. I don't think there's a lot of happy this morning in the fine city of Chicago, but we will seek it. 312-644-6767. You got people now calling for John Fox's head. Would you go that far? Is that too far for you? 312-644-6767. Where are you in the Bears rebuild? The keep it close team not managing to pull it out. We'll start with Steve. He's in DeKalb. Good morning, Steve.
Howdy. I think the saddest part of the coaching debacle in the game was they had their most explosive player, Tariq Cohen, sitting on the bench. Even when they flanked him out wide, the Packers knew he was dangerous. They put a corner on him. They can't figure out how to get him the ball out in the flat. He's the best player they have, and he's on the bench.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday watching the game. Sometimes when you're talking about a wet track, you're talking about a kind of a slippery surface. It was raining yesterday. I don't know if you were out at all. And it was bad downtown. It was just slick, and that field is bad. Sometimes those stop and start guys, you know, the kind of herky jerky guys, really have problems with their footing. You're better off with some, you know, with the big tank, but it's not like they're running the ball anyway, right? So they did not figure out a way to get, you know, Kendall Wright is healthy. He's playing the slot. They didn't seem to have a lot of ideas about how to use the young running back, the playmaker, I believe.
Yeah, Don Logan's called him the playmaker before the bye, right?
Their best playmaker. Yeah. No, he was not part of that game plan. That's for darn sure. They just did not get the ball to him very much, period, end of story.
And I understand they were loading the box, okay? And they were also bringing five guys at times on obvious passing down. So, Dom Capers was bringing pressure as you knew he would against.
Did you hear what the quarterback said? The quarterback said they were in cover two. And right. They were in, you know, the quarterback just, if he's right about what he was seeing, they weren't loading the box.
Well, early on they were. Early on, and you had negative plays. So the first two or three runs for Howard were, I think, you know, -2, -3. But that means you just throw out the commitment to the run. I mean, it's 3-0. Oh boy, we had a panic. Let's start throwing the ball. I mean,
and again, Deion Sims is out. He was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, how sick are you that you can't play it after 2 weeks? Whatever. He was ill and could not play. So you. You wind up with Adam Shaheen getting a lot of playing time, and you know Daniel Brown played. I saw him jump off sides. I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm not dissing him, but I know he was out there.
He joined the group, yeah. I can get a penalty, too.
So you lost a yard on the first play from scrimmage of the game. Jordan Howard off right guard lost a yard. Then you have a short pass to Kendall Wright, gets you the first down. Now you come back. And you hand off -1 yard again to Howard, and then you have a -3 yards for Howard, who's getting hit in the backfield,
right.
Obviously,
right.
by just these negative plays. That was the point where there were two penalties, both Cody Whitehair for holding and Sowell for illegal formation, and those were declined because
you
had
them
in 3rd and 14, yeah. And that was the short pass to Shaheen. So he had 8 yards on that, which isn't quite
going to
get you a first down.
That's not 15. Yeah, that's 8.
No,
yeah.
No. 312-644-6767. Mike is in Chicago Heights. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning on not a victory Monday.
Well, we're winners. We're still winners, buddy. You and me. And Brian
winners.
To a certain extent. Hey.
Yeah.
And someone's going to win a trip. That's big victory Monday. So win the warm today, too. Chance to get down to the Grand Bahia Principe Resort. Thanks to the Apple Vacation. So stay tuned.
Good plug, as you guys usually do. Listen, it starts from top to bottom. They're taking stupid pills. I mean,
they don't need them. No. That prescription ran out 2 years ago. It's just apparently taken.
You know, and it just stems down to Mr. Fox. Keep your mouth shut, because every time you open it, you put it in your mouth, because your stupid foot is the dumbest. Keep your mouth shut. If he would have kept his mouth shut, they would have had a touchdown. But you know what? It's not only that. The defense, the last two series, they couldn't stop. My son, who's 14 years of age, from running right through him. That's it.
Yeah. Well, they were on the field a long time. I'm trying to defend them.
Did Green Bay have a fourth running back that they could have trotted out there?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
what was
Jamal
that?
Williams.
Yeah.
67 yards. Okay. Hey, Mike, I can do that. Call some running plays. I can go right through these guys. 160 yards rushing.
Yeah, I mean, there's one team that has the Pro Bowl running back and can run the football. And
that was your
team.
Formula, right? Your defense was going to show up. You're going to run the ball, and you were going to be fine.
Let's try Matt. He's in Park Ridge. Good morning, Matt.
God. Hey, good morning. I don't know why everybody is so down on Fox. He had great clock management. He challenged the play, and he didn't lose a timeout.
That's the idea of the challenge, right? Yeah, he was correct.
And they use that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can't wait till next year when they have a whole new array of coaches, and maybe they can get some talent.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Okay.
Who's hiring who?
I was going to say, the easy part is getting rid of everybody, and then the same group is going to, you know, here we go. Let's have the national search and come up with whatever.
Where's Ernie Accorsi? Oh, damn, he's not available.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. And then Brian Pace will get into the draft. And how many picks they have next year? Six? That should get you a player. You should be able to move up.
Find
once.
Find one out of the six?
Yeah. Well, you move up.
Your
package deal. Well, we didn't want to have to sit and wait for our player.
You know what? I'll say this, and I know he's on the pregame, but he keeps his head down. Ryan Pace, you know, he's letting John Fox twist out there and take all the hits for everything. But you know, the young GM is the roster has its issues as well.
That was the old joke. What do you call a buxom blonde woman living in Sweden? Salman Rushdie. Now it's going to be Ryan Pace.
Yeah,
that was an old, not Califat joke. Is that what they called on him? Charles is on the west side. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Good.
I tell you, it's time for Fox to leave.
You know what, though? And Charlie, I don't know if you – do you mean you want him fired today?
Well, he needs to go, like, soon as the commercial go off. He needs to be gone because – every week is the same thing. You know, the offensive line. I mean, the quarterback that we have, get him to roll out. You know, it's simple. Play action. He got options as he roll out. You can hit the tight end. You can throw it deep. Or he can run. And he got him sitting in there. You know you got eight guys in the box like that. You got to get him out of that. Let him run. Get him loose, you know. But the football is not a hard game. It's time to try to go for hardball right now. So. I mean, it's the same thing every week. You know, we lose every week. We done lost a touchdown. You know, I ain't saying that last touchdown is his fault, but it's time for him to go.
Fox was asked, Charles, in the post game, why is it the team looks like it does after each bye week?
He was asked about his job security.
Well, yeah, but why is it that, you know, how can a team, and it's not the first time they come out of bye looking like that they're not prepared, and matter of fact, they look sloppy. You know, the 11 penalties. You know, the defense, you know, riding its reputation. You have all that extra time. What'd you do exactly?
312-644-6767. Does the coach come under a further scrutiny? Boy, there's some pretty harsh stories in the paper today about John Fox. Anybody on board? Anybody think that's actually going to happen? We'll discuss the why it won't or if it should next. 312-644-6767. Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. And, boy, I'll tell you what, John Fox... kind of doesn't have a lot of people on his side anymore, right? Is that fair to say? I don't know, Brian. Even you may be turning on him, and it's hard to believe. So you're such a Foxy guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm at all the Fox support group meetings.
I was just complimenting you. You're such a Foxy guy. I don't know if you picked up or not, but You're a handsome
double. Yeah, I don't think we have anyone really making the case that that the coaching staff is good to go. I mean, it's good to go. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but not.
Let me read you Rick Morrissey's lead this morning in the Sun-Times. John Fox has to go. His departure date should be Monday, but it's not in the McCaskies' DNA, stomach, or wallet to fire a coach 9 games into a season. Let it be at the end of the season then. There's no way ownership can bring back Fox for next season, not after the excremental, wow, nice, 23-16 loss Sunday to the Packers. No earthly way.
And I know that our buddy David Haw, you know, said you can start fantasizing about Josh McDaniel and maybe a Dave Tobe. We had texters saying of Jim Harbaugh. Remember, he was the flavor of the month early in the season. If he wants to come here, you know, could you get him? Are they going to pay almost $10 million to Jim Harbaugh? He's making, what, $7 million or more at Michigan. And his contract calls for openers, reopeners, where if anyone, you know, the top-tier coaches start making more than he does, they have to renegotiate the contract. So he's not coming here for John Fox money, the $4.5 million.
Do they want to let him go, though? I mean, that's the thing. Are they going to fight you? If John Harbaugh decides to leave, are they going to fight it?
Well, if Jim Harbaugh, are the McCaskies going to pay him, after paying off everyone to leave, are they going to pay the head coach $10 million and then start filling out his staff? Because his assistant.
Did I say John Harbaugh? Yeah. I think I got him fired, too.
Yeah.
Here's David today. It was premature to speculate about Fox's future around their open date because a respectable start put the Bears in position to realistically approach a 500 season. But those of us who consider the possibility of Fox saving his job with a strong second half now can concede the Bears looking so sloppy and unprepared after a weekend off make that unlikely, dropping to 1-5 against the Packers with their will get the McCaskies' attention quicker than any of Fox's other shortcomings. In other words, feel free to start jonesing for Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, Eagles Frank Wright, and he goes through the list.
Dave Tobe, yeah.
And I love Dave Tobe. Having said that, I think that, and again, anybody who wants John Fox fired today, it's not going to happen, right? I mean, when you went through what would you call it? The horror of Mark Trestman. The fact that he was allowed to finish the season. They gave up 50 points to New England. They had a bye week. Then they went up to Green Bay and gave up another 50 points. Let me tell you something. That guy was fired, I believe, at that point.
Right.
But he was allowed. And then he went through the whole farcical, you know, the offensive coordinator calling out Jay, being forced to apologize, weeping in front of the team. That whole thing was such a train wreck and such a disaster. If you were allowed to survive that, God knows what they're not going to fire you in season. Yeah. The Bears, in the history of the organization, dating back to the Decatur Staleys, dating to George Halas was coaching the team for the majority of those years, they've never fired a coach in season, ever. They've never done it. Never, ever, ever in the history of the forever. Now, again, you know, how old is the franchise? And George Halas coached for, you know, 40 years or something, right? 35 years, whatever it was. So it makes sense that he wouldn't fire himself. But they've just never done it, and they don't have the stomach for it or the wallet for it or whatever Rick Morrissey wrote. He's absolutely right. They're not going to do that today.
Right, right.
And there are people that say, hey, why not, you know, go ahead, give it to Vic Fangio, see what he can do.
Yeah, give him a trial run here. Yeah, okay.
It's not
who's your play caller? Because if you're firing Fox, don't you have to fire the offensive coordinator?
And you know, he's smart enough not to have anyone there to take over.
Right.
So he's got a job. And you know, of course, you got he's the offensive coordinator, and then you got Rags. Dave Ragone is the quarterback coach, and then of course you got Mark Sanchez.
Oh, did I forgot to ask?
You forgot?
Oh, I almost texted you.
Would the Sanchez be a good coordinator
when you saw the story in the Tribune yesterday? Because the brains of the outfit,
yeah,
the calming hand.
The other thing that really I just threw my hands up about this idea that, you know, he's the guy that really created Dak Prescott, right? Because he was there in Dallas. Never mind that they got, a head coach that played in the NFL and was a quarterback in the NFL and spent years as a backup player. Throw him out. Never mind, you know, Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator who was a head coach with the Rams and is Minnesota's coordinator when they had Randy Moss and those guys. And, you know, forget that stuff. Never mind that Wade Wilson, who was an NFL quarterback, he's their quarterback coach. Never mind those guys. It was the Sanchez that was the great handholder that, you know.
Well, yesterday they woke up and realized Sanchez wasn't there because the offensive line looked like it never played and, what, 8 sacks and Zeke Elliott somewhere traversing the globe.
You know,
he wanted to clear his head, so he's left the country.
The Josh McCown story, the teammate, okay, he's still playing.
Yes.
But that's not, you know, sorry, Mark Sanchez, that storyline's taken. That guy's got it. You can't have that one, making Jay a better person. Phil's in Zion. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, how you guys doing?
It's a long, complicated story. I wouldn't say as well as we'd like.
I just wanted to touch on a couple of things with you guys. First of all, I want to know what you guys think about the, you know, the offensive coordinator, his personnel decisions for a wide receiver, because it was like Trey McBride had a, you know, somewhat of a breakout game against the Saints, and then all of a sudden he's benched for Josh Bellamy, who was basically playing gunner the past 3 weeks.
Yes, yeah, that's what he's good at. Yeah. I mean, Josh Bellamy. The miracle of the big pass down the field is that he caught it. That's the miracle of it. How did he catch a pass? And then, you know, he made a couple of football moves. It was a few strides because once he hit the ground, of course, the process of the catching.
Right.
Had he caught it and fallen into the end zone, that wouldn't have been a catch. But he did make some football moves before he dropped the ball. But he, you know, Josh Bellamy is just a mystery inside, an enigma inside. Does he have photos, Joe? How do you keep throwing the ball to him?
And
I know he caught a touchdown. I know we should be celebrating him today.
No, we shouldn't. No.
But
body of work. Yeah.
It's yeah.
I love it. Alex Brown in the post game is like, why is he playing? Can someone?
Oh my God.
Why
it
is
makes
he playing?
No sense. I mean, he was dropping the ball a year ago.
Yeah. Okay.
How did he get to come back? And then everyone said, "Well, it's special teams."
Yeah. Okay. Well, let him play special teams.
Speaking of things that make no sense, coming off the bye, preparing for this for a couple of weeks, your number one playmaker, 2 touches.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
five
now,
the week before,
he did,
one the week before that.
He did return.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
How about the offense? If he's your number one playmaker.
It was a wet day, and it's hard for little guys to get their feet.
Oh, is that
There's
it?
No ballast to him. I'm trying.
Okay.
There's always a reason.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep. There's always a plan, too. Sometimes the plan doesn't work.
Just because the plan didn't work, as Jerry Angelo said, doesn't mean it wasn't a good plan.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe. It's Mully and Hanley. We got something really special lined up for you. You need a break. Why don't you go on vacation? Why don't you get the heck out of this cold and miserable town with its bad football and go watch some baseball in the Dominican Republic? Wouldn't that be a fun thing to do?
Yeah, thanks to the fine folks at Apple Vacations. All this week, we're giving away trips. That's right. Get out of the bare weather. Win the warm. Be the correct caller. Before we get out of here today, we'll give you a 10-second soundbite from one of our regular guests. Then when we ask you to be the correct caller, caller 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. If you correctly identify who was talking in that sound clip, you're going to win the warm. You're going to head down to the beautiful Grand Bahia Principe Resort in Punta Cana.
Listen carefully, because we're going to have Big's time next. Maybe it's his voice that you need to know. Make sure you can identify a Brad Biggs from the old voice lineup. What? Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to this show, and, of course, a dear friend, Big Z.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you tell us, man. I mean, that is just disgraceful. To lose that game coming off a bye week against the team that played on Monday, against the team with no Aaron Rodgers on their third running back by the time the game is halfway through. You know, who else were they missing? They lost the tight end, the right tackle. Come on.
Really, they talked about being a good defense, and you've had people throw out the idea that this could be a top 10 defense. for some time, and we heard talk about that a year ago, to let Brett Hundley beat you and beat you the way he did in the fourth quarter, convincingly, with some big plays, has got to rub some folks at Hallis Hall the wrong way, because Hundley got it done and the Bears didn't, and they were shorthanded. And my goodness, if you're not going to beat the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers, I don't know when you're going to get down to accomplishing a task that is really so significant to the ownership of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Big Z, and the defense is certainly on the list when you allow 160 yards rushing to mostly to the third back, as we've been talking about here. But the penalties, certainly the play calling, everything. I mean, coming out of the bye, you just wonder what exactly they can point to. I mean, John Fox, again, just said in the postgame, well, oh, but for those two games, we gave ourselves a chance. That, again, it's grit, it's competing. It's, well, your team looked like it was coming out without their heads in the right place yesterday. So I don't know how he can put that on the list of a competitive game, and, you know, they were this close.
Well, they spent time doing some self-scout. They looked close to the wide receiver position. They removed Tanner Gentry from the equation. They also pretty much took Trey McBride out of the mix. He'd been playing a lot, and I had him for 7 or 8 snaps in the game yesterday. So you've got the newcomer, Dontrell Inman, going 6 catches for 88 yards, 1 drop over the middle there near the end. Kendall Wright's playing time was way up. Dow Loggins had said they liked him around 25, 30 snaps to stay explosive. I think he had about 45 snaps. And then the resurrection of Josh Bellamy, big-time playing time again.
Bizarre.
Yeah, 7 targets, only 2 catches, but he ran a really nice route on the 46-yard touchdown. I'll give him credit for that. That was a nice play. So they did some work there. Probably wanted to run the ball a little bit more effectively than they did. Mitch's numbers at the end, they look okay. They look fine, except for the 5 sacks. Where, yeah, I'm looking forward to rewatching that today. I got to think 2 were avoidable, maybe 3. If he just gets rid of the ball, you know, when he got sacked on that naked bootleg, that was, you just can't take a sack on a play like that. But
he had a guy open too. I mean, he just
21,
the completion. It's not much, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, or throw it to the sideline. So 21 of 35 for 297 yards. I feel like the numbers are a little bit hollow, but you can twist the numbers good or bad just about any direction. You want, just disappointing, because this was the start of the second half of the season that was supposed to be, you know, an easier schedule, and I still believe that it is, but my goodness, not the kind of effort you needed for the second half. Just disappointing all the way around.
And Brad, you know, it's also disappointing to hear the coach talk about the idea that you know, we're awful close, and we've got all sorts of, you know, we've done some really good things. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
That doesn't fly in your... Fox has been around long enough to know that message doesn't...
It was ridiculous. I can't believe he went there.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised, too, because he's got more savvy than that to know, you know, what's got a chance of sticking and working and what's not going to stick, and it's going to slide right off the wall and that kind of thing in year 3, halfway through year 3, slides right off the wall.
Yeah, and when you're averaging 16 points a game, unless your defense gets you a couple scores, I mean, that's not going to succeed in the NFL any year.
No, and, well, have they scored more than 17 in a game that was in regulation?
Wow, I
have it in front of me, but yeah, they've been definitely point challenged. At least Connor Barth, the kicker, stood up and, you know, solved his slump, banging through 3 kicks from more than 40 yards out. That had been an issue, and it certainly was a challenging day to kick at Soldier Field. So he grades out probably just fine, and yeah, the Bears have got their own injury issues, like Green Bay did, but the Bears don't have an issue that equates to Aaron Rodgers being out, and that they're not even close. So that's just the big problem here, guys.
What when you look at the you know, number of runs versus number of throws? Again, they threw 35 times. Now they were off schedule all day, a lot of third and longs. Do you look at that and say there's no balance to this offense? That the you know, again, you get carried away with whatever it was. What did they have? How many passes did the kid throw? 35,
35,
and then another five sacks. Yeah. So that's 40 pass plays. I mean, that's pretty ugly to 17 runs.
Right, but I think you get into the fourth quarter and you look at that, especially they had the possession beginning with 5:29 to play, where it's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 passes in a row, and then they get the ball back later on. They're just chucking it. So it was a little bit closer to being balanced than you would think just looking at the final numbers because of the game flow there at the end. And really, they had the ball. They had a possession with 13 minutes to play where they trailed by 10, and that's where they ran it at the start before that big pass to Bellamy. And I was getting people on Twitter that were upset that they were taking too much time to run the football and they needed to throw it. So, yeah, what they needed to do was be a little bit more effective in the run game. Howard had that one nice run that went for about 25, 26 yards, and you know, Green Bay was pretty stout. That Green Bay has been okay against the run this season. But I'll tell you, Dom Capers has been under fire in Green Bay, guys. And that's not the first time it's happened with him up there. But, boy, it's difficult to find supporters for him, you know, at least publicly. He seems to be getting roasted all season long. But they came up with a plan that worked against the Bears yesterday.
All right, Bigsy, hold on 1 second. We want to ask you about the worst challenge in the history of professional football, if indeed that's what it was, and the fact that the Bears won it, much to the horror and surprise of their head coach. It's Mully and Hanley on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley on The Score. We've got Brad Biggs on the line. And Biggsy, we teased it before the break. The Fox, a winner, big winner on that challenge. So that's kind of, I'm surprised he didn't just say that when he got up there. Well, I did win the challenge.
Timeout's more valuable than the ball.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was bizarre. And it's not the first time we've seen something like that happen in the league this season. Although the situation in the Jets-Patriots game last month at the Meadowlands was a little bit different. In that situation, Jets tight end Austin Seferian-Jenkins had appeared to score a touchdown in on a normal replay review that happens for every score. Excuse me, that play was reversed. Benny Cunningham was ruled out at the 2-yard line. Fox threw the challenge flag, maintaining that Benny had remained in bounds and wanted to get a touchdown out of it when he hit the pylon. You know, it had happened on the opposite sideline, so Fox wasn't relying on anything he saw on the play. He was relying on the people upstairs. And, you know, I'll say this. I'm interested to see if there's a greater explanation of the call by the officials. But one thing's very clear and cannot be disputed, and that's that the ball was out of Benny's hands before it hit the pylon. So there's no way it was a touchdown on the play. No way.
Yeah, and here's the other problem. You don't have to throw it as quickly. You know, Fox said maybe you've watched it 50 times, you saw what you saw, and you didn't have to. By about the second or third replay, you're thinking, that ball's coming out. And everyone
clearly out.
Yeah. So, I mean, why rush to throw that flag because Benny Cunningham told you he scored?
He said it never occurred to anyone that it could be reversed like that.
Well, and it just killed him. And I asked Mike McCarthy coming out, I said, hey, were you considering challenging the play that Cunningham had fumbled and lost possession of the ball before Fox threw his flag? Because if Fox doesn't throw his flag, it's first and goal at the 2. And that's why I was wondering, was McCarthy considering putting his red flag on the ground because he saw Cunningham lose control of the ball, thinking maybe he can get a turnover right there. And he said no, that you don't get enough replays on the video boards when you're the visitor to make a call like that. And he lamented not challenging a Josh Bellamy catch earlier in the game. So it also just shows zero faith in your offense.
Yeah.
You got first and goal at the two.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a shot here. Maybe we'll lose a timeout, but we'll see if we can get our touchdown. Line up at the two and punch the damn thing in. And hopefully the league has a little bit better explanation because it looks kind of gray. Did he when he was out of bounds, after he was out of bounds, did he touch the ball again, which would potentially make the ball a dead ball and out of bounds before it hits the pylon? Because it's when it hits the pylon that becomes a touchback and Packers football and a turnover and just a disaster for the Bears.
And you know, I was saying this earlier, Brad. I remember talking to Lovey one time about his philosophy on challenging a play, because there were times where they challenged stuff where I didn't understand why they were challenging it. So I had a conversation with him about it, and he said that they challenge any play that he believes is a game-changing play. So, for instance, if you fumble on the 2-yard line and the other team has the ball, you challenge that they, you know, just in case you can have that reversed because it's such a significant play. It doesn't matter what the evidence is, you challenge on a game-changing play. And it didn't matter what time of the game it was or whatever. If by that philosophy, it was inane to even challenge that play because you got the ball in the two, you didn't lose the ball. The touchdown, as you say, it's a lack of faith in it. Now, I don't know what his philosophy is, but by the older standard that was used here, and again, they challenged on things that you knew they weren't going to win.
Yeah, Lovey would throw the flag at times, and you're like, well, there goes the timeout.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who? Any idea who's upstairs? Supposedly,
I mean, he's got like there's like 6-8 guys in the booth. I don't think you can pin that on one guy. You know, if they're watching replays, they're probably all chiming in on it. And shoot, there's just no chance he had the ball when he got to the pylon. Benny Cunningham admitted as much after the game, and it was a really poor decision to challenge the play. And that's a bigger issue to me than saying the refs screwed the Bears once again, because, you know, in the end, I think bad teams screw bad teams more than anything else.
All right, Biggsy, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, Tribune football man.
Our visit with Brad brought to us by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, brought to you by your local Ford stores.
Don't go anywhere. We'll get a quick scoreboard update from Joe. We'll be right back with Olin Krutz and talk about some of the similar things and get Olin's perspective on what it's like when a challenge like that goes the wrong way.